What's up, everybody? Thanks again for stopping by for another edition of March 4th with Mike Bauman. I, of course, am your host, Mike Bauman. Whoever you are, wherever you are listening from, thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you're a returning listener, I greatly appreciate your continued love and support. And if you're a brand new listener of the show, man, thank you so much for hopping aboard that pirate ship. You can follow me on Instagram at March 4th Pod, on YouTube at March 4th Pod, on the TikTok at March 4th Podcast. The links to all my stuff are in the podcast description for this episode. So that means if you made it here, then you found me somehow. And I truly appreciate each and every one of you checking out another edition of the March 4th with Mike Bauman Podcast. I hope that everybody's doing well out there, man. I hope that your March is going well. Did you fill out your bracket? Do you even like basketball, huh? I myself love basketball. Big fan. More of an NBA guy myself. More of an NBA guy. Big Pistons fan. Unfortunately, there hasn't been a lot to write home about the last few years, but we got a great young core. And yes, I'm one of those fans that says we, because I'm invested. All right. That used to be my birthday present every year. Back in the day, you used to be able to get 4 tickets. 4 hot dogs, 4 pops, and whatever the souvenir was for like $100, man. And you were in the upper bowl, dude. But it was still awesome to be there. I got to see Michael Jordan's last game in Detroit against the Pistons, if you know anything about that rivalry and how awesome that was. I mean, that was my 15th birthday. That's crazy. It's 21 years ago. But anyway, I'm a big fan of basketball, and I love this time of the year. You've got the NBA going down the home stretch for the playoffs, the NHL going down the home stretch for the playoffs, March Madness. There's already been a couple of upsets. I watched Oakland last night beat Kentucky, and this dude for Oakland had 10 threes, man. I think his name is Golkey, and he's like a graduate transfer, came into Division I, and dude just lit up Kentucky. It was unbelievable. So I love it, man. But for those of you, maybe you don't like basketball, so I won't stay on the hoop stack, but it's my birthday month, too. I'm not one of those people. It's my birthday month. I didn't mean it like that. Here's me overthinking everything. But yeah, turn 36 on March 4th, starting these new workouts, trying to get back in fat and shape, and just take care of myself, man, mentally, physically, spiritually, genuinely trying to make 2024 an awesome year. You know, because I feel like every year we all kind of start out hot, like, yeah, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And then maybe those old habits creep back in. And by the time you get to May, you know, you're like, oh, man, I didn't do A, B, C, or D. And then you beat yourself up. And it's a vicious cycle. So I'm genuinely trying to stay on the straight and narrow, man. And it's a little tough because your boy's got a sweet tooth. And in my day job, I sit at a desk all day, dude. So, you know, you can't really look like Zac Efron eating ice cream and working behind a computer screen. You know what I mean? But anyway, man, I'm going all over the place here, folks. I promise you I will get this train back on the tracks. But yeah, long way of saying, happy March Madness. I love basketball. If you do too, cool. If not, I just hope that you're having a great start to your year, man. We're almost 3 months in the books. And just like the theme of the show, March 4th, persevere, move forward. I hope that you are genuinely chasing your dreams and your goals, whatever they may be, personally, professionally, physically, mentally, spiritually. I hope that you're doing well in 2024. And the fact that you're tuning into this show does make me smile, man, because that's what we're trying to do over here, is persevere and move forward and just be good people in the world, man. That's all I'm trying to do. So thank you so much for checking out the show. And speaking of good people, just doing their thing out there in the world, man, here in Nashville, Tennessee. I got a chance to meet these dudes back in August last year at a show. And sometimes you just meet people and instantly they're like, dude, they're cool, man. They're good dudes. And it was cool to check them out live. Their live performance, to see a duo, to see that much noise and that type of a performance come out of two people. It's always so cool. And I've just had a blasty blast getting to know these guys. And we finally were able to link up for the podcast. They are none other than Brand Merritt and Joey Loretta of the band Sleep Nation, based here in Nashville, Tennessee. And these guys are dope, man. Their album And Then There Were Two just came out back in September. And it's a blast, man. It's a great listen from front to back. over an hour and 20 minutes for your eardrums, man. And there is no filler. And I genuinely mean that. I really dig this record. There's a lot of different peaks and valleys in it. And we get into all of it on this show. We get into the making of the record, becoming a two-piece, the live show and the performance that these guys put on. Brand puts on multiple outfits. You know, there's some cool David Bowie nods. There's space nods, as we will get into in this one. And really, I just love the creative output from these dudes. And like I said, it was cool to finally get them on the show because they're both involved in multiple musical projects. Shout out to Jacqueline and Not Your Nails. But yeah, man, just good people. And it's cool, like I said, when you meet good people out there. And there's so much talent here in Nashville. And one of my goals for this show has been to get more local flavor on the show, man. I really tried to, you know, switch it up over the years as far as different genres and even people outside of the music realm. And, you know, part of me coming out of my hermit shell over these past couple of years, it's been a weird couple of years post-COVID, man. And I'm kind of an extroverted introvert, you know, in like the truest form. And I prefer smaller groups of people, unless it's a concert where everybody's going nuts, then that's cool. But in terms of connecting with people on an individual level, man, that's really what I prefer. And, you know, shout out to Josh from Royalty Cult. Josh and I, like I said, met these dudes back in August and, just connected in a positive way. And I really appreciate Bran and Joey making time for me with their busy schedules, man, with their music and their lives to stop by on the podcast and, you know, dish all the deets on how they came together, the journey that they've been on with Sleep Nation, how they got into music and everything in between, man. So without further ado, I'm going to shut my big yapper and give you guys my conversation with Bran Merritt and Joey Loretta of Sleep Nation. Here it is.
I heard her.
Yeah, you heard the creepy robot lady.
That means yay for the creepy robot lady.
I feel like there's going to be more of them in the future, but that would probably be a different discussion for a different podcast. But well, dudes, thank you again so much for taking the time to do the show. Like I was talking about with you guys before the jump, it was cool meeting you guys back in August and getting to see you at the end. And seeing so much sound come out of two people was really cool, man. And getting a chance to, you know, to be in touch since then and finally make this happen. I really appreciate you guys giving me some of your time. I know you're busy, dude. So thank you for coming on the podcast, man.
No, thank you. We really appreciate it. It was great to meet you because I felt like that I kind of got lost in talking with you and Joe, you know, like I couldn't stop talking about Seven Dust I called you the imposter. I had one of my best friends from college that we used to go to see Seven Dust shows. You're the imposter, Jordan Wallace. So,
yeah, when I came to y'all's listening party in East Nashville, there were multiple people came up to me and they're like, "Do you know who you look like?" And I'm like, "I have no idea, man. I just met Brad a couple weeks ago at the show." And then that was fun. Well, since we got two of y'all on this one, why don't you tell people your names and what you play in the band? So those people listening to the audio, they know who's speaking.
Joey, I'm the drummer of the band, or one half of Sleep Nation.
And I'm Bran Merritt, the vocalist and guitar player for Sleep Nation.
Should we introduce our computer too?
Yeah. Well, I do. I mean that's the alternate me.
The alternate
you. Yeah, our tracks are the alternate me at night when I'm like wearing pajamas and playing the, you know, the bass tracks and stuff.
That's when all the good stuff comes out.
Yeah. 3:00 a.m.
Well, one place I wanted to start with you guys, and I know a little bit about y'all's story just from you know, doing a little bit more research in addition to jamming the music, man. But usually a place I like to start with people is just what grabbed him about music. Because I feel like when you meet people who really love music, where it's not just like a passive thing for them, or like, oh, I like that song when I turn it on the car. When you meet people who like really love it, there was a moment or a person or some type of influence that really grabbed them. Do you guys remember what that was for you?
Honestly, I mean, music's been a part of my life since as far as I can remember. Getting really into the idea of performing music, you know, at a younger age, I never even had the idea that I would be. You know, as growing up, my parents always thought because I was so tall, I'd be a basketball player. Well, that was not the case. I was a little bit of a late bloomer on that one, and everyone had me beat to it. Being the fact that my dad had been in band too, you know, that idea was kind of suggested. Again, at the time, had no thought of like, you know, obviously every kid likes music, but I didn't really think about the performance aspect of it. And, you know, I was like, oh, I don't want to be that kid. I want to be the nerd in high school, you know. But, you know, at the time, I was like, you know what, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to be the drummer because drums are really cool. So that's when I kind of stepped foot in. And the second that I went to it, it was like, it was that for life. It was done, you know. And now every time I hear a song, like the drum beat is the thing that catches me along with the melodies and things. And it's just, you know, you can't help but just let that thing just take you to a whole other place and inspiration of ideas.
Yeah, so I guess like whenever I was like 5 years old, my favorite song was I heard it through the grapevine, but it wasn't the Marvin Gaye version. It was the California Raisins version. So, but then I heard, you know, like my grandparents, they listened to the oldies station. So like every time that song came on, I knew, you know, what it was from. So I guess like I had an attachment with, or like a love for music, like early on. But, and then I don't know, like what, I think what really sealed the deal with me with like my love for music was, like when my mother passed away, I had to find a way to, you know, like take all that sadness and like put it into, I don't know, like I just found strength and kind of hope and music by like listening to, you know, Pink Floyd or Phil Collins or Genesis, or I was listening to like Stained and Alice in Chains. And so I was like all over the place musically, but I just, you know, and especially like U2. I mean, like Bono, he lost his mom at age 14, and music kind of like saved him and the, you know, his bandmates. Like, and he says that in a lot of interviews, you know, like music saved his life. So I kind of felt the same way.
Well, I'm sorry for your loss at a young age, man. But I'm glad that you had an outlet to channel it into that. Cause then was it 14 you picked up guitar and yeah. Was it Wish You Were Here? Pink Floyd was like the first one that you really got
you
into.
You have done your research. Those notes are coming in handy. Bam.
Got it down.
Like no, A+.
That's a big one for me too, man. Wish You Were Here. That's a,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it is for a lot of people out there in their catalog, right? I'm sure a lot of people get misty eyed listening to that or trying to play it. But there's something about the chords to that song and just the way that it starts. Yeah, it draws you in, you know?
Yeah.
So then did it just snowball from there? Cause I know Sleep Nation started, it's been over a decade now, right? Like when you were in college. So how long have you guys known each other?
Let's see. So a drummer quit, like the night the drummer quit, I posted on Facebook, like, hey, we're looking for a drummer. And then Joey replies to it, well, I'm still like practicing with this guy who just quit. And, I don't know, like right after within that, yeah, like the next week he was jumping in, you know, and, at the time we were a four piece, and when Joey joined up, and then like COVID happened, and the bass player and guitar player at the time were like, we're tired of doing this, you know, this seems to be the right time to get out. So Joey joined in 2019,
January 2019.
Yeah,
so it's been five years, I guess.
So Sleep Nation's been around a while, but we've had a lot of weird things that have gone on with Sleep Nation. So, but for some reason, I don't know, like when we decided to become a two piece, it was like we got a jolt of like creativity and energy and like a breath of new life. We're like, and I don't know how to, you know, nothing against like any of the people who, you know, helped me start Sleep Nation and the people that kind of like helped it along the way. But when we became a two piece, it just, it was like, why haven't we been doing this from like day one? And, you know, it kind of made everything click. Like there's always been times like through the history of Sleep Nation where it's like something seemed a little, you know, like we were trying to make it work. Whereas like now it just works. Like
everything just works.
Yeah. It just, you know.
And honestly, at the time, whenever we got into the COVID year and, you know, having lost half the band kind of at a quick time, you know, it was kind of a moment of desperation. I'm like, what do we do? Where are we at now? You know, I don't know if it had been any different if we've been kind of forced to look at this in a way where how do we work this out with just two of us? You know, because we already had, it's been in passing conversation of working with tracks and in-ears, but we've never fully really gotten into the idea. But with that having happened, it kind of pushed the thought a little, expedited the process a little sooner. You know, with it being a year where there was not a whole lot going on, gave us a lot of opportunity to kind of experiment with what we had. And like Brian said, gave us kind of a fresh start to kind of develop a whole new idea and concept for Sleep Nation.
Yeah, man, like I said, it's I'm glad that you guys kept it going because, excuse me, I know a lot of artists and a lot of bands went through that in during COVID. You know, there's some, you know, the whole music industry got turned. I mean, everything got turned upside down, you know, but, you know, venues that didn't reopen or bands that dissolved or lineup changes. Like y'all aren't the first ones that have come on here and have had to go through that process. But I'm glad to hear that, like you said, it was a kind of almost like a creative revolution for you. And even seeing the show, because it was Zakkapalooza, I believe. Zakkapalooza was the August show where, you know, for people listening, there was between the End and Exit Inn in Nashville, which are right across the street from each other, two really cool intimate venues. And I went over there with Josh from the band Royalty Cult. Quick shout out to them. They're great dudes. And we kind of came in the back, and in the End is a little bit smaller, more intimate. And all of a sudden see you guys jamming. And then Bran, I think you came out in a space suit, and I was like, yo, I was like, I haven't seen something like this before. Cause actually I think you guys are the only, and that's why I think what you're doing is really cool and unique. And I'm not just saying that to like butter your bread, man. Like the other two piece that I saw and I got really into, and I still love their record, No Name, No Colors, Middle Class Rut. I don't know if you're familiar with those guys, but, I got a chance to do a story on them when I was still writing back in the day. I promise, folks, I'm just relating music here. I'm not dropping names. But I remember seeing them live and just going, damn, like it's really cool when you see, you know, either a two-piece or a three-piece and you see the kind of sounds that can happen. And for you guys, it's really a live experience with the TV, you know, Brand coming out in like the shiny suit, coming out in the space suit, playing the double guitar. You know, Joey's holding it down. Like, it's a really cool live experience, man. And I think that's like a good transition into the record. And then there were two. I mean, it's a 20 song, you know, 81 minutes, and there's no filler on there. Like some of my favorites are Never Meant to Hurt You, Coyote. I just love like the Western-y type of vibe to that one. Cry Baby. Loving the digital age, Spaceman, obviously has been a big one for you guys. But I mean, what was it like? You know, you talk about coming out of COVID as a two piece and all this creativity. You know, that's a really big undertaking to do a 20 song album. I mean, you you probably could have made it almost like a part one and a part two, or like a double album if you really, really wanted to. But I mean, what was the process in that? Because I don't think people realize, like, playing live is a whole different thing from recording and getting takes in and then putting all the samples in. I mean, what was that process like when you guys decided to do a big record like that?
Well, I mean, COVID, you know, kind of gave us a lot of time. There were some riffs that were kind of, that were left out, or there was stuff that we were working on when we were a four piece. And then actually, I think the lead guitar player left first. Mm-hmm. And so that gave us time to like work on some stuff as a three piece for a little bit. And kind of some, like, when the guitar player left first, we noticed a jump in creativity, like two or three songs kind of come out, or like the starts of two or three songs kind of come out of that. And then whenever the bass player was like, I can't do this anymore, then it was just like another jump of creativity. So we just had a lot of, you know, that album was all thanks to COVID. There was a lot of terrible things that happened during COVID, but I'll say that allowed Joey and I just to, you know, just kind of work on songs, and that's the, you know, and then number two is the birth of what we kind of worked on for a couple of years, and
properly named, for sure. Yeah. You know, it is our debut album as a two piece. So, you know, that's kind of we wanted to express our talents as what has come out of the new resurgence of the new, not necessarily a new band, but just the format of what we're dealing with currently.
Well, it's a new band. I just didn't want to lose the Sleep Nation name, but essentially, like, I feel like it's a new band. I feel like that, I write songs different. Like, we write songs differently now, and I'm, like 5 years ago, I wouldn't have imagined using samples, and now I, you know, like, experimented with using samples, and that's fun, and you know, like, doing weird vocal stuff. So it's just there's kind of nothing off the table. Mm-hmm. And Spaceman was actually the first song that was recorded.
Yeah.
Very first for that album. For the album, even though it's like kind of sets later on in the album, it was actually like the first song recorded. And shout out to Daisy Dead, who provided the bass tracks on that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just, and that song kind of set the tone for the rest of, like, how we were going to write and how we were going to, like, nothing, you know, no holds barred, you know.
Exactly.
Like, there's a little gospel section in Spaceman. There's you know, an early 80s hip hop section in Spaceman. So there's nothing. We were just open. We were just experimenting and open to trying new things on that. So.
And was it Chase Coy? I read that you said was a guy that kind of you kind of credited for helping you, like,
yeah. Shout out to Chase, man. We didn't decide to work with him as far as, like, studio wise, but yeah, he really just kind of, like, opened my mind to samples, and I'm like, okay, it's not as bad. It's like my heroes use samples, so why should I be against it? You know?
Yeah.
And
especially now, it's literally everywhere. So you just got to know how to use it and where to place it.
Yeah.
Well, and I know too, right? And are both you guys in Not Your Nails, the cover band? But I know, Brian, I read that you're a big, like, Trent Reznor guy, right? And he's done all kinds of stuff. Like, I mean, like, movie scores and stuff now too. So, I mean, their stuff, I mean, was kind of like, I don't know if you'd put them, like, in kind of like an industrial sound, because they've done so much. Nine Inch Nails, I've never seen them live. That would be cool. I don't even know if they do that really anymore. And then I was older when I realized, didn't Richard Patrick from Filter used to play with them in the early days?
Yeah, he did.
Um, But yeah, I dug the record, man. And I think it's cool that you guys touched on. That was one thing I wanted to ask you, having listened to it a couple times now, you know, trying to pick up on themes and stuff. Because like you said, there's different elements in there. There's some really bluesy vibes. There's some political undertones for sure. Obviously, like the Spaceman vibes. Like, were you going for? I guess it's a two part question. Like, at what point did you guys realize you're like, okay, we're just gonna make this like a really cool 20 song record? And then the second part would be, is there an overall theme to it, or like in terms of like a storyline, or you know, was it just like, this is a cool collection of songs and we want to make it flow together well?
So the first part was the 20 song, like why the 20 songs, is that right? Well, Morgan Wallen came out with an album that was like 36 songs, so we're only half as good.
We're half as good as that.
I'm just joking. I hate that music is terrible. No offense to Morgan Wallen fans, but that's just, you know. As far as the concept of, and then there were two, there's a storyline, and I think it will become more realized when this next go around, because the Spaceman kind of possesses the band towards the end of the album, and eventually that will kind of split off into two bands. So like the Sleep Nation that, you know, that's kind of like bluesy rock, political type stuff will be here. And then the Spaceman version of Sleep Nation will be over here.
I dig it. Because at towards the end, right, there's the voicemail where you're like kind of frantic, and then it kind of goes into that frequency. And yeah. So is that kind of will that be a lead in on the next one?
Yeah, well, maybe not the next one, but like it'll essentially like split off into two. Like there's gonna be a Sleep Nation album over here, and then there'll be like a Spaceman album, and it'll be two separate entities essentially.
Kind of like, having an alter ego.
An alter ego. That's exactly right.
What you're looking for, right? I mean, no one else is doing that, so we figured we've already been experimenting this long. Why not keep trying more stuff and pushing the envelope?
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. And I don't want any, if there's any Morgan Wallen listeners, don't come at us, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not trying to draw the ire of it's fine. No, man, it was genuinely, it was a great listen. And I'm a fan of like front to back albums, you know what I mean? Like when I, like we were geeking out about Seven Dust the first time we met. Like I'm a guy, when I get the record, like back in the day, even when the singles were big and they would come out, you know, which, you know, bands still do that. But I mean, like in the 90s with the CDs, you could actually get the singles, you know, and it would be like, like that was my first Metallica record, was because I had no idea. I was 8 and Until It Sleeps was on the radio and I was like, this is cool. And my big brother was a big Metallica fan. And I went to a place called CD Warehouse in Toledo, Ohio. And I just saw something that said Until It Sleeps on it. And it was like the single. And then it was like two live tracks. And my mom took me to get it and then took me back to the store the same Sunday afternoon to return it because James Hetfield was MFing it like multiple times. She's like, you can't listen to this, honey. Because my dad had like the entertainment center set up in the living room and had like two cool tall speaker cabinets. But listening to albums front to back is something I like, because I know that's a process too. I don't know if that, like the average listener out there probably knows how much, like, you know, the artist actually, you know, goes over and over again with the rest of the band of like, how do we set up the track listing? So as you guys put all these together, did you kind of like get to a point with the flow? Did it change a few times as far as from track 1 to track 20? How many iterations of it did you guys listen to before you were like, okay, this is like the 1 to 20 we're going for?
I left that all to our ex-bass player, Micah Rowland. Shout out to Micah, kind of
Rowland, was the low man.
Yeah, the low end. He was in there in the beginning. And then we actually kicked him out for a period of time, and then he rejoined back again, and then he left on good terms. What was that, 2020?
Mm-hmm.
He left on good terms in 2020, but
like all that stuff. So,
but I still we still keep up with him, and yeah, he I said I figured up the last 4 or 5 songs. I said the set, like the last, you know, track 15 to 20 has to be this, but you've decided the rest. So it was all him.
Yeah. And it flows really well. I mean, that's the hope, is obviously, like you said, the attention span now is not always what you hope for it to be, but for something like a 20 song album, obviously it's a very long listen. You know, we want someone to be able to listen to this from song 1 to 20 and be able to feel a different experience every time they go to another track. And then obviously, you know, very end, this last spot 4 or 5 are all the kind of spaceman oriented character themed situation, which will lead into future endeavors of, as we spoke about, the alter ego situation.
The music video was really cool too for Spaceman. How did you guys come up for the concept with that? Because I mean, that looked it was basically like a mini movie. I mean, there's multiple parts in that thing. Like at one point you're in like the tub, you know, then there's like the cutaways to you guys jamming and stuff. Like how was it coming up with like I don't know if storyboard is the right word for it, but coming up with the concept for the music video.
So the director, Thomas O'Brien, I can't remember how I got in contact with him, but he was the director for that. I don't remember how the idea came about, but I was like, man, just thinking of ideas, and come up with, let's film a entire music video in a motel. So which was, it's like an even longer story of renting this hotel out, and they
stay in.
Yeah, like we were only there for maybe like 5 hours or something like that, maybe 6, but like I rented it out for an entire like time because I didn't want them to know that we were filming a video in there. Because they wanted to charge, like, there we got a couple different rates, and one place was like, oh, you gotta have like $1,000 like an hour to film here. And I was like, oh gosh. And so whenever I got to my like kind of final choice, I was like, I'm just gonna rent this room and pray these people don't like find out that we're filming a music video. So we had to like park the cars strategically and take the drums out of the
it was interesting getting that thing in that little room.
And I kept looking through the shades like some kind of creeper, like at the office, and I was like, oh, they're looking at us, oh my gosh. And then I found out in a podcast that hotel or motel is haunted. It was a crazy experience. So we were like moving all the furniture around there and found some really nasty stuff while doing that too. And yeah, we just kind of utilized that entire room to, you know, do different like neat scenes in a motel. Yeah.
Really had to get creative. It wasn't the biggest room for sure, but we made it work.
Did you guys notice anything weird while you were there? You know, you mentioned finding out after the fact that it was haunted, but did you have any weird vibes when you went in there?
I was so paranoid about the front of house, like finding out what we were doing, that like gonna switch my lease to. Yeah, I wasn't worried about any paranormal stuff. I was all worried about real life. You know, we're going to get like an extra charge on this room. Yeah, it was quite scary.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. Getting in there, loading it in, and then packing up and ditching as quick as possible.
Yeah.
With all that equipment.
That's That's a wild experience, man. I've all the years I've been in Nashville, actually, I've never been to the, was it the Dive Motel? It's got like the cool, like, I mean, do they even use it for like, do people even stay there anymore? Or is it just people go there for like pool parties and stuff in the summer? I know there's like different themed rooms and things like that. I've never been there all my years in Nashville.
So that wasn't the one that we filmed that, but we did talk to them about filming a video. Like the Dive, I think, is the one that was like $1,000 an hour. Yeah, it was pretty, but it's super cool. It was the one that I really wanted to film in, but I was like, I'm not gonna, you know, we're trying to work on it. Like all of our music videos, you know, we're like on a shoestring budget, so we're not trying to. We try to get like the most bang for our buck, but we're always on like a shoestring budget. So,
yeah, $1,000 an hour is not cheap. That's a good chunk of change, especially if you're filming for like, yeah, 10 hours is 10 grand. And that's not even if you're paying the director or anybody else, the videographer. Yeah. That's a good chunk of change, man. Well, dang. Well, I'm glad it turned out well. And again, I appreciate you guys doing this, man. I won't chew your ear off for too much longer, but I was really geeked out to talk to you guys finally and learn more about Sleep Nation. But I think creativity, just even from this conversation, and I kind of knew that going into it with you guys, but it's kind of like I feel like the central thing for you guys, like the central theme. I don't know if like ethos is the right word, but even this guy, which you gifted to me, which thank you. The Sleep Nation comic, man. And wasn't it, is it, I'm remembering his name correctly, I hope, Brandon Hillis. Your late friend who you know, came up with this concept with you and everything, man. So I you know, and I've kept this thing clean, man. Like I respect stuff when people give it to me. This thing isn't frayed. I'm trying to keep the corners nice because I really think this is really cool. One thing I learned about you, Bran, in doing my research, which we share in common, is a love for drawing. So I don't really do it much anymore, sadly. It's like one of those things as you get older and those things from your childhood that you don't keep up with. But I read that you draw Batman stuff when you were a kid. And so I genuinely think it's really cool that you guys did a comic, man. That seemed like a really awesome undertaking. And again, I'm sorry for your loss of your good friend, but I think it's really cool that you have like that physical art as kind of a good remembrance of him. You know, that just goes to show the work that you guys put into the creativity to what you do, man. But how cool is that, man, to just say that you guys have a comic? That's pretty dope.
That's very cool. Yeah, it's people were really surprised when we like have that out there, like, what, you guys have a comic book?
Yeah,
really?
It really seems like an interest for sure, because they don't expect it.
Yeah, at all. But and then it kind of gives me a chance to, you know, talk about Brandon a little bit. So that's really neat. But to kind of, so I have to tell this story because it's, so when we first released the comic book, like Brandon had already passed away. So he never got to see the finished product, unfortunately, but, we did a kind of like a comic book release at my hometown, and we did it at my hometown fair, which is kind of like our one of our favorite shows to play. And Brandon's parents gifted me the debut album cover that Brandon did, like the original, and they like had it framed it and brought to me and stuff. And so we proceed to perform Wish You Were Here and as like a dedication to him. And I boxed that song up like crazy that night. So I'm playing my double neck and I checked the tuning right before we start playing it. But then like I look at his mom and dad and they're like, their tears are running down and my guitar is like way out of tune. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Brandon. I know you hate me right now because he sold me my first guitar. And, you know, like he was a great, like artist, like we took art classes together, but he was clearly way better at it, like drawing than I was. But yeah, I was like, Brandon is looking down that and his parents are like crying and he sees me just boxing this song up. So I don't know. I always like to talk about that.
It was a great show though.
Yeah.
You know, for what it was. And the tribute to that, you know.
Yeah. Thankfully, I was able to retune like half the way and kind of, you know, at least get back on the track halfway. But like the first of it, I was like, oh, that's out of tune. But yeah.
Is it McMinnville's where you're from, right? Is it McMinnville?
That's where I'm from. Yeah.
When is their their fair? I'll have to come out to that. I've never been to that down there.
September?
Second week in September. Usually
okay.
we always play on the like Friday. But yeah, it's like the one of the only free fairs in Tennessee. And
I mean, doing it every year.
Yeah. We've been doing it for as long as Sleep Nation's been around, we've been doing it. And it's always kind of like a highlight of our year to play the fair, because my family, who usually won't, you know, like they're not going to come out to like Nashville and at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at night, but like, you know, my family gets to come out to see us play and perform, and so that's really cool.
Yeah,
I'll have to check it out, man. Yeah, I've not been down there, because there's some cool ones. I've since I've been here, man, like the Bell Buckle one's cool. I don't think is that far from McMinnville? I know it's like past
not
Murph,
too far.
Yeah,
it's probably like, I don't know, 45 minutes from McMinnville, something like that.
Yeah, that's a cool little like little town, but like a big festival, man. Like with all kind of like art vendors and food and everything. I took my mom there when she came to visit when I had been living here for like maybe a year. I was like, man, this is dope. So, well, that's cool. Well, I'm sorry that the guitar was out of tune, but I'm glad it was a good tribute. And I'm sure he had a good laugh up there, man. You know what I mean? It's really cool. Do you guys still have any copies of those left that you bring to shows? The comic?
Yeah.
Well, for people listening, you know, come out to a Sleep Nation show after you listen to this. The links will be in the podcast description, but definitely check it out. It's really cool, man. Like, I don't know. Like I said, when I was a kid, I loved drawing. That was like my first love before music. I kind of don't remember this, but my big brother told this story and it made me laugh because I was actually kind of bad when I was a kid. I used to get in trouble a lot in preschool and stuff. I just was like, just kind of wild, man. But I could draw like actual figures, and this isn't like a toot my own horn thing, but just because I like to draw, I could draw more than stick figures in like kindergarten.
Mm-hmm.
And, we had to draw pictures of like our families and put them on, you know, and then they put it up on the wall for like, you know, when the parents come in and stuff. And I got bored and I drew King Kong, but I drew like the nipples too. So people just thought I like drew my mom topless, and they're like, ah, this kid.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, and I don't know, I kind of like half remember that, but yeah, I used to draw. And then there was a video game, it was kind of like Mortal Kombat. God, the name's on the tip of my tongue. It was for like Super Nintendo, but I remember drawing one of the characters for that too in like second grade, and the teacher, same thing, I was drawing like, you know, like the chest, and then she was like, what are you drawing? I'm like, oh, it's from this video game. It was an arcade game too. Sorry, guys, I go on rants.
The Street Fighter, maybe Street Fighter. Clay Fighter 63 and a third.
It wasn't Street Fighter. God, now I gotta.
Street Fighter is pretty popular, so.
Yeah.
90.
It was like a side scroll, Mortal Kombat esque game.
Yeah, because there was a character in it who was like, he would do uppercuts, but he was like a frozen dude, and he would like, so you could like come down underneath and then come up on the other side. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, Killer Instinct.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad you remembered it, man. I was like trying to look it up and I'm like, I don't want to have dead air on the show, but Killer Instinct. Yeah. It's drawn one of the characters.
It was important in the moment in time.
Yeah.
Cause everybody who's like listening to this that remember that video game are like, yeah,
that one. Again, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they have the arcade game at HQ, that arcade bar, like off Broadway headquarters. Okay. But yeah, Killer Instinct, man. But yeah, so I really appreciate artists like yourselves who put a lot into like the artwork and stuff, because I'm assuming we're around the same age. Like I'm 36 now. That was like one of the things I used to love back in the day, getting CDs and like pulling out the booklet, reading the lyrics. And I think it's cool that vinyl has made a huge comeback. Buddies who have done some cool stuff and like put the work in to put it together a vinyl. And I don't even have a record player in my apartment, but I've started to slowly collect albums on vinyl. So I really, long way of me saying that's like 6 minutes of people's lives. You're not going to get back on my tangent there talking about King Kong boobs and Killer Instinct. But I really appreciate good artwork, and you guys put a lot into good artwork. And I guess just before we wrap it up here in the next 10, 15 minutes, just on that front, like, are there any albums that stick out to you guys that you still either remember the first time you listened to it and really thought the artwork was cool, or some that you have to this day that that you go, man, that was between the album itself and the artwork, it was a cool combo?
Well, I know, like, for me, I've probably bought a few albums a little bit based on artwork sometimes, but you know, let's see. Now
Journey always had good artwork.
Who?
Journey always had good artwork.
Yeah.
Miller has some good artwork too. With the horse.
Do you know who it's like a play on words? Storm Thorson is part of this collective art group. But for some reason I can't remember the name of the guys who did like all the Pink Floyd albums, and I think he did like some Yes albums, and I know he did like a Paul McCartney like Wings album or something like that, but hugely popular. I don't know why I can't remember the name of this. Probably like the most popular album cover artist of all time.
I'm trying to look it up for you as you're speaking. I'll find it. Keep going.
But yeah, Storm Thorgerson is one half of this group. I just can't remember the stinking name of the group. But if you look up Pink Floyd and you look up who did it, like they did the Dark Side of the Moon, you know, like probably the most iconic album cover. I'd argue anybody to like tell me what's more iconic than the Dark Side of the Moon, even though like
not very many of theirs at all.
It's probably my like least favorite Pink Floyd album. I would say least, but it's lower on the totem pole than most other people. But yeah, I mean, Dark Side probably the most iconic, you know, like that album artwork. People have probably never listened to that album
and know what it is.
Yeah, they know exactly. It's Pink Floyd. You know,
according to my quick research, Hypnosis, but it was spelled like,
yeah, Hypnosis. Yeah, that's it. I just couldn't. I was like, it's a play on words, and I can't think of this.
Not overused in your everyday vocabulary. That's
why. Yeah. But
Joey, what about you, man? Any that stick out for you?
Growing up at home, I was always kind of like a lot into the 80s bands and things. So my parents always had a discography of like, you know, Def Leppard and Journey and the Police. And I've been a big fan of the Police too, because, and even as just a three piece, they were one that had a lot of really cool sounds, in my opinion, too. And I think their artwork was kind of, it was different for everything they've done. It wasn't really anything that was kind of mainstream. It was just kind of odd.
like Ghost in the Shell is really cool artwork.
Yeah.
It's really simple, but that's
what's so great about it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I read something, after it, I don't know if it's true or not, but like each one of like the digital numbers or whatever is supposed to be each member of the band. Like,
somewhere.
Like one of them, you can see kind of like the spiky hair, because I think Sting kind of had like spiky hair at the time. Yeah, that was a good record. Didn't that one have Invisible Sun on it? That's like one of my favorite Lee songs. You know what I'm talking about? I'm going to butcher it because I can't see worth a crap. But yeah, that's a good record. Yeah. Zendaya Manada had like the triangle logo.
Synchronicity, that's iconic. Yeah. Like, that's an iconic album cover.
Stripes.
Yeah, that thing was, I think I had a t-shirt with that on it.
That music still holds up too. Sorry, Joe, I didn't mean to step on you.
Oh, no, you're good. You know, I was just going to mention, Stuart Copeland. I mean, that's one of my top listed drummers that I usually refer to, because he's got some sick licks. And, you know, it wasn't until like a few years back that I found out that he was actually the guy that produced the Spyro soundtracks for the Spyro video games, which is really cool. I was like, wow, no wonder he's so talented.
I found out that Toto singer sang on some really just, it was like the Care Bears theme song. And I was like, what a doofus, man. Like,
hilarious.
I mean, I don't know. Like, what a doofus. Like, why would you sing on that? You know, I mean, I don't know. I have a, like, I when I hear certain Toto songs, I appreciate them, like Hold the Line and Rosanna. You know, those are great songs, but Africa, I absolutely hate that song. If I never heard that song again, I would be okay.
they have great songs. It's just, that's the only song anybody ever plays in Africa. It's just like with Journey, the only thing they ever play is Don't Stop Believing. Even though they got other songs that are better, but
yeah, Stone and Love.
Yeah.
They had like the Escape album cover is really cool. They had a video game for that album on Atari.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and it played an 8-bit version of Don't Stop Believing in the background. Yeah, I actually can say that I've played it. It was kind of fun.
Is guitarist for Toto, is it Steve Lukather? Is that, am I confusing? Yeah. And didn't he play with, because I saw that, did you guys see that documentary? It came out a few years ago. I think Jason Hook produced it or put it together, called Hired Gun. Pretty sure it's called.
Yeah, I watched that. It's really good.
Yeah, I didn't realize that dude, Steve Lukather. Like, I didn't realize the amount of riffs that dude, you know, played. But that's kind of a trick. I didn't realize till way after the fact too that Eddie Van Halen did the solo and Beat It, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea, man. Are you guys seeing that? Was there just a thumbs up on there?
I don't know.
Am I going crazy? There was just like a thumbs up.
There was, but
came up out of nowhere on my screen. I swear, I've not used any paraphernalia before this. Well, dudes, before we officially wrap this up, first of all, I just want to say thank you again. My mama taught me not to be short on my thank yous, man. It's cool when you meet good people out here. And like I said, these past couple of years have been kind of weird for me too, man. But doing this podcast has been like, you know, I did it when I was younger, in my like early 20s, when I was writing music stuff and kind of got away from it. And when I moved here, I always had, you know, designs of getting back into it. And that was one of the good things that came out of COVID for me, man, was like, I was sitting here in my apartment working from home, bouncing off of four walls. And I was like, you know, I kind of started it the year before and then I got away from it. And then I don't know if you guys are like that too. Like, when you're not consistent with stuff that you love, it's like, it's you know what I mean? And so I was like, I gotta get back into doing this, man. And it's been really cool over the last couple of years to get in touch with all different kinds of people, you know, in music and, you know, colleagues and friends and business owners and stuff. And, you know, that was one of my things that I really wanted to do last year too, was get more into the local music scene, because there's so many great artists like yourselves playing awesome shows in Nashville, man. So it's cool when you meet good people out here. So thank you for coming on. Just as a closer, and it's kind of a heavy question, but it's a good one though. Just on the theme of the show, you know, March 4th, perseverance, moving forward. You know, obviously we've touched on, you know, unfortunate passings, but we also touched on the positivity with that brand and how, you know, that fueled your creativity with music and Sleep Nation. But is there any advice that you guys would pass on from your own life experiences, whether it's creatively with music or just in general, that you feel like is somewhat universal to somebody who might be struggling right now in 2024?
You know, I think music in all cases, just like any form of art, you know, whether it's creativity and drawing or music in general, I think it does help us escape reality to an extent, you know. And I think we've all had a patch where, you know, there's a point in time where all of life stressors become a little too much for us, and we become a little overwhelmed. And sometimes, I mean, I'll admit it, I've been in positions where, you know, you'll get stuck in a rut and you're like, I don't know, but, you know, I don't know if this is worth it. But when you have something like, for us, it's music, obviously, it's a passion that we love. And once you have that, even if you take a break from it, the second that you get the taste of it back again, you know why you did it the first time, you know? Mm-hmm. And even for us going to shows, playing shows, things like that, it's like, you know, we may be playing to 5 people, you may be playing to 100 people, but those people are all there for a reason. And they all have different experiences on their own of why they're there. I mean, yes, they probably are friends. They may be people we've never met before. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, that might be their escape from work or relationships or whatever else is going on in their life at the moment. Because let's face it, the economy right now isn't always the greatest. And, you know, we all got to kind of work hard to keep our heads above water. So we've got to find the light in what we do.
I think that's a good line for a song. Find the light in what we do. I'll have to remember that one.
Yep. Write that one down, Brian.
Yeah. I don't know if I really have like sage advice on, you know, I think Joey probably said it pretty well, but, you know, like that's kind of the beauty of like having a creative outlet. Because if you do happen to like, you know, either just like having a rough day or, you know, like whatever life throws at you, your creative outlet is going to be, you know, a way for you to like detach from reality.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, keep your mind busy. I think mm-hmm. that's the, like the beauty of creativity. It kind of keeps your mind busy.
And it's one thing that stays constant, you know, because yeah. I think that's a human nature. We like, you know, not all humans like the idea of change. Obviously change is inevitable, but when there's one thing, you know, you have a little bit of control over, you know, that could put you in a comfort zone mm-hmm. in a sense.
Yeah. Creativity.
Whether you're a listener or a performer, either way. So
creativity is your, you know, like your guiding light, I guess. It's definitely been mine. It's definitely, you know, brought me out of the depths. So mm-hmm. I just hope that I can share, you know, our creativity with other people. And like you said, you know, you don't know who's out there,
yeah.
Who needs that bit of happiness. And hopefully we're able to provide some of that. Maybe not sing so many, you know, political songs, because that makes you think about politics. But it's hard for me to not write political type songs. But hopefully on this next record, I don't think there's anything in there that I can remember right now. Well, maybe. Okay, there's one. I couldn't help it. I couldn't help it. Like,
but a lot of good stuff in the works, though. A lot of good stuff in the works, for sure.
Yeah, we're going to try to release an album for 2024. And it's going to have a cover on it. Cover song, which will be a first for Sleep Nation. And it was all Joey's idea, and I was like, yes, I love it. Let's do it.
And it's not going to be a 20-song album either.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll we're be like going that far.
Yeah. It's going to be like an 8-song album. A little more palatable than the 20 song.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it, man. You know, I really loved the record that you guys dropped in September, and it's been fun getting to know you dudes, and I'm going to be out to more shows, man. And just on that note, I'll share the links in the podcast description, but thanks again for coming on. For people who aren't aware of Sleep Nation, let them know where they can find you.
Facebook, Instagram, the Tickle Talk. We're on everything except for LinkedIn. I don't think Sleep Nation has a LinkedIn.
No, I don't think we do.
No, we don't.
But we're everywhere else, though.
Yeah, everywhere else.
Stream music everywhere you get your music, all that good stuff.
Bands in town if you want to keep up with shows. And so, yeah, check us out. We're adding, you know, I'm trying to add like new costumes to the show all the time.
So already got two of them.
Yeah.
Maybe a third.
Yeah, maybe a third. If I can swing it, I'll make it happen.
Well, sweet. But well, guys, thanks again for doing this again. Oh, sorry, man. I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to say thank you, Mike, man. It's been awesome to get to know you. And we really appreciate you inviting us to do this and being on a podcast and being on your podcast. We appreciate you. And thanks for coming to like all of our shows and the listening party. That was a lot of fun to have you there because we just met and that was a cool night, man. Well, I personally really appreciate it. I know Joey did too.
Yep, that, for sure.
Like, we just kind of met and then you showed up to the listen part. I'm like, yeah, man, Mike's freaking awesome. Like, he's supportive, man. He, like, we just met, but I feel like
we already know each other.
We know each other really well because we sat out there at Zachapalooza and talked for like over an hour just about music stuff. So.
Well, I appreciate you guys inviting me, man. Yeah, it's like I said at the jump, man. It's good to get to know good people. And, you know, I venture out of my cave every now and again. I venture out of my fortress of solitude here in Hendersonville, man. But, you know, I love live music. I love music in general. I mean, I'm not a musician, obviously, but I mean, it's a life force for me. It's gotten me out of a lot of dark days, especially these past few years, man. It feels like, I'm not going to open up a conspiracy wormhole here, but, you know, hear that stuff about, oh, there's like alternate universes and the Mandela effect and stuff. And I've had days where I'm literally like, dude, this is a friggin' twilight zone right now. Like, this is crazy.
It feels like it sometimes. It really does.
Like, you see, like, whether it's politics or like news or, you know, I remember like it got so weird at the height of COVID that it was like a passive news story that they're like, our government has announced that there's UFOs. And Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 was one of the guys that people were saying was like nuts. And it come to find out it was like footage from like his company with like the US government or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people were just like, yeah, cool. So you guys want to get a pizza or like things have just gotten so things have just gotten so crazy during COVID. It's like we have confirmation. Our government has said there are unidentified flying objects. I think the way they described it, they're like, they're not from this realm or this planet or however, you know, they put it. And it was just like another Wednesday for people. It was just another day at the office. That's pretty just much how crazy things got. So long way of me saying like music has gotten me through a lot. And, you know, being able to, you know, you can wake up every day and you can choose to focus on the stuff that you don't have or focus on the stuff that you do have, you know, like the older I get, not that anybody wants to hear a 36-year-old pontificate about stuff, but the older I get, the more I realize like just being in a state of gratitude and choosing that is it's just way better, man. And so like, yeah, when you meet good people, and even though sometimes I can be a little socially anxious or whatever, I'm like, no, these are good dudes. Like, you know, I'm getting invited. I enjoyed the show and I came out there and, you know, got a little JMO and Ginge in me. And then people said I looked like your buddies and you know, I was to the races just talking to everybody, man. So it was cool. And you know, Kristen, I think it is too, right? And Not Your Nail was there. It was fun, man. So no, I appreciate the mutual love and support, and looking forward to doing more of these, man. Not just a podcast, but just shooting the breeze at shows, man. So thanks again for doing this, dudes. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Alrighty, Dighty, there you have it. That was my conversation with Bran Merritt and Joey Loretta of the band Sleep Nation, based here in Nashville, Tennessee. Make sure you go follow these guys on Instagram at Sleep Nation TV. The links to all of their stuff are in the podcast description for this episode. So if you liked what you heard, just scroll down to the bottom of that podcast description, hit those links, and go follow and support Sleep Nation. You will not be disappointed if you love rock and roll. Great lyrics, great storylines, great front-to-back listens. Once again, their record, and then there were two, just came out this past September. It's available everywhere you get your music, but I did all the hard work for you. Everything's in a podcast description, so just hit those links and go follow and support Sleep Nation, man. I just want to say directly to Bran and Joey, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the podcast, man. It was awesome meeting you back in August. And, you know, the fact that you guys invited me to the listening party and I've gotten a chance to go to another show since then and just keep in touch, Bran. I know we've been going back and forth these past couple of months, and I know you dudes have really busy schedules, man, with the multiple musical projects you're in, your daily lives outside of music. So it really means a lot that you guys took the time to come on this podcast, especially since it was coming off of like multiple gigs that you guys had done over the past week. I think heading into when we actually recorded that Tuesday night, there was like a Not Your Nails show. I think there was another like prom theme show. There was a Sleep Nation gig. So truly appreciate you guys taking the time to come on the show, man, and share your story with myself and the listeners. And again, I just appreciate you dudes being good people, man. It was cool meeting you with Josh from Royalty Cult. And Bran, anytime I meet anybody who loves Seven Dust, man, it's like the Spider-Man meme. That is one of my all-time favorite bands. So I can talk Seven Dust all day with anybody. But I try not to be a punisher and chew people's ears off, man. So you guys are good people in my book, and I look forward to more shows, more hangs. And I'm just a fan of what you're doing, and I can't wait for the new music too. So once again, everybody go follow these guys at Sleep Nation TV and check out the links in the podcast description. And if you liked what you heard, I hate begging for this stuff, but please do tell a friend to tell a friend about this show. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes if you love finding out about new music. I have a lot of up-and-coming and underground bands on the show, in addition to just, you know, people outside of music, with the theme of the show being perseverance and moving forward, as is the name March 4th. If you didn't know, now you know. But yeah, man, if you liked what you heard, like I said, hate begging for this stuff. But if you have Apple or Spotify, whatever you're listening to, I just know on Apple and Spotify, you can leave a rating and a review for the show. That goes a long way in helping these conversations get out to more people. And that's what I want, man. I want to put more people on to dope music like Sleep Nation and just good people like Bran and Joey. Very talented guys, nice guys, and just good people, man. So that's going to be a wrap. Believe it or not, this is like the seventh or eighth close that I've recorded to this podcast because I felt like I was falling apart on like the first six of them, and it's probably just me being too hard on myself. But I don't want to rant too much longer, y'all, other than to say I do genuinely appreciate everybody who rocks with the pod, man. It's been a really fun journey these past few years, and to see it grow incrementally since I really was doing it consistently starting back in 2020, it's just been dope, man. And it's really cool to you know, start meeting more people in the local Nashville music scene and get out of my hermit crab shell, man. These past couple of years have been kind of weird since COVID. So yeah, that was like a little Midwest accent I just did there. What was that? Bobby's World, his mom back in the day. Oh, Bobby, don't you know? See what I mean, guys? I'm getting a little spacey. It's getting late, getting a little spacey. So I think it's time for me to wrap it up. But genuinely, dudes, appreciate everybody listening to the show. And once again, man, chase your dreams, you know, push through the fear. Don't be too hard on yourself like me. Don't record the close to your podcast eight times because the first seven were probably okay. Hopefully y'all dig this one. but yeah, man, don't let anybody tell you who you need to be. All you got to do is be yourself. That's good enough, man. You know, so on that note, I'm going to officially wrap things up as a tribute to my gramp. Like I always say, keep the faith and be kind to one another. Courtesy of Bran and Joey of Sleep Nation, off of their record, And Then There Were Two. This is the song Spaceman. Peace.
Down here watching TV while you dance. to the discotheque, from the blue suede shoes to the Memphis blues. JFK brought us the news. Elton John to the Rocket Man. Major Tom floating in a tin can. Made it too far with Ziggy's band. Screwed up eyes, he took my chick. Bounce a guy to solve a nervous wreck. Whitey on the moon with a snow on tan. Civil rights leader, bitch about the fans. Spotted to fly, then stop me. Got me down on my knees and just